We're here at the Edinburgh Fringe, and I'm talking to Catherine Hurst, who is a female spy.
I am.
Called Mata Hari. Now, there's been a lot of Mata Hari shows at the Fringe over the years. Tell me about the female spy.
Tell me about the female spy. She's a very enigmatic woman, and we are talking about her from beyond the grave. So it's her reflecting on her life and times, and the adventures and misadventures that led her to the firing squad in 1917. It's all her own words, so taken from her memoirs, and it's a sort of wry look at her life, all delivered with a raised eyebrow, we sort of say. So in our opinion, or in her opinion, it was a setup. The most famous icon in the world couldn't possibly have been a spy, and yes, she was a famous woman, and yes, she travelled all over the world, and yes, she had many lovers, but she did what she needed to do to survive.
As you've maybe researched into the part and the character and the history, why has this particular icon, you know, become an icon?
I think it's the idea that it was a woman who wasn't ashamed, and she was brazen and brash, and she enjoyed her sexuality, and she enjoyed who she was, and she wasn't going to apologise for it. So I think that sort of bold, unapologetic, brave nature is really rather compelling and an interesting subject.
It's interesting how the mask falls when I interview actors, because you're smiling.
Yeah.
And you're smiling a particular way that suggests, you know, there's a bit of this in you, is there?
I think it might be. Gavin, the director, he wrote it for me. We've known each other for a very, very long time. And I'm very much a go-getter and an unapologetic, and, you know, been through all manner of stuff, from lovers to divorce to you name it. And there are a few lines in there which I think do resonate a little bit. And it's, I do admire her in terms of, this is who I am. Love me or hate me, sometimes I win, sometimes I lose, which is a main quote from the show. And she says it again unapologetically.
How much do you allow the historical research to define how you play this, and how much do you actually just allow imagination, you know, and your creativity to actually, you know, shape it?
I would say it's very much more imagination and creativity, because I don't look like her, so I'm certainly not on stage saying, this is me doing an impersonation of Mata Hari. I'm very English looking. I don't look as if I'm from, you know, Holland. I don't look like her. But it's more a sort of embodying her kind of soul and style and personality, I would say. So I, in terms of, you know, I speak with a poised, sort of slightly period, I'd say accent, I guess. But the rest of it, I'd say, very much comes from me and Gavin and our impression of someone who it was very, very poised and elegant and confident. So a lot of that just sort of comes from me, I would say.
So, but then does that mean you do have to lay aside the, you know, the versions that are already out there?
I haven't actually seen any of them,
right.
Any of them at all.
And that's by choice, is that, it?
Yeah, that's by choice. I can't stand on stage and impersonate her or say, I look like her, believe that I'm her. It's more embodying who she was, and this is her tale, and you take from it what you want. But I'm certainly not saying this is me impersonating her, because, you know, I'm not. But I think embodying her is probably a better way of describing it.
So I'm picturing you now and the man, the director, Gavin Robertson, in a room.
Yeah.
And it's called a rehearsal. And
yeah.
Let's go to the beginning of that process. And I'm a fly on the wall.
Of the rehearsal with me and Gavin. So it starts off with a cup of tea, cappuccino, a little chat. The way we always work is he had her memoirs. And we look at work from a sort of episodic perspective. It's not linear, it's chunks, and then a lot of what Gavin does is he relies on the audience to be paying attention and sort of piece it together, you know, to pay attention in that respect. So what we tend to do is he might say, right, so there's an interesting chapter in the book which I read about, which was where she talks about how her prosecutor accused her of spying, and it was ridiculous. So that's interesting. And we'll sort of, he'll give me a script, so he would start with a script, and then we sort of work around that, and then every scene is written on a piece of paper and placed on the floor, and then that's how the show is then structured. So he's like, so we've got an interrogation scene here, oh, there's a nice letter where she's talking from prison, but actually if we put that letter first, it makes quite a nice impact at the beginning. So we have lots of episodic scenes on pieces of paper on the floor, and then we move those pieces of paper in order to structure the show and have a nice sort of rhythm and movement to it.
So you probably do what jigsaw puzzle designers do.
Yeah, I would say so. It's a jigsaw show. It's a jigsaw show, and it sort of, it splits between her in the prison sort of begging for her freedom and saying, well, this is ludicrous, you know, I'm a worldly woman, I've travelled everywhere, I know lots of people, of course I know Germans, I'm Dutch, what are you talking about, this is ludicrous. So it's her in very, very sort of present in the cell, and then it switches back to her, you know, talking very much from beyond the grave, saying, well, so this is what happened.
But you're no jobbing actor alone, so you're in that room, and I guess there's a collaborative process going on as well. So he's there, yeah. He's leading that conversation. What are you doing?
The thing with me and Gavin, we have very sort of similar brains. I think he said to you, I'm a sort of female him. Both of us have a very strong natural movement approach to work. So what he might say to me is something along the lines of, okay, so she's writing letters in her cell and she's packing up ready for the firing squad, go. And then I will just start moving. But I move in kind of a sort of lyrical way. It's not dance, but it's sort of choreographed. And he links into that. And I just sort of, I don't know, we just seem to have a synthesis with regards to making things look pretty and moving things in an interesting way. Or what we normally do is we'll have all of Gavin's shows, for the most part, make something out of nothing. So you might have a screen like in Bond, which becomes X, Y, and Z. So in Mata Hari, it's six long poles, which are moved around the stage to create different sort of worlds and ideas. So at the beginning, they're at the front creating the prison. And then he says, right, so we've got these six poles, Kat. What else could they look like? How can we manipulate these poles to look like a something? And then we have some sheet, and I was like, oh, what if you drape it around like that? And so I start draping. We start making pictures. And that's very much me and him. What pictures can we make? It's like, well, if you drape the sheet like this, it looks a little bit like a temple. Oh, okay, well, that could be in a scene where she talks about her dance. Oh, great, well, that's a scene, that's a something. And then that's how that was created. So lots of it is picture making at the beginning, just playing with the shapes and seeing what scenes can be created from those.
Do you think he chose you because you're not always going to agree with him?
The great thing with me and Gavin is the fact that we're really, really good friends as well. It's not just actor-director. So there is kind of a, like, again, a raised eyebrow and a cheekiness. And, you know, I will say, yeah, is that a bit crap? Not sure. And it's an honesty, but it's a relaxed honesty, definitely. I'm certainly not just going to sit there and go, yeah, okay. I will go, well, is that a bit indulgent? That bit, not so sure. But that makes it easy because we've been working together for like 6 years or something now. So it's very relaxed.
And in terms of the physicalization of the character, so you have imagined this. Have you imagined a Mata Hari that has exactly the same physical structure and proportions as you? Or do you have to inhabit a different set of bones and skin?
I think she, for me, because she always says, it's interesting because we are similar, because she always says, I'm not a dancer, I just sort of flirt and behave coquettishly and people like that. And as a girl, as an actor, as a woman, I get that. That makes sense to me. So I'm certainly not thinking, oh, okay, exactly how might the Indonesian, how exactly would those positions have been? Because she confesses herself, I didn't really know. It just looked lovely and people warmed to it. I think I probably have to embody a bit more confidence as an actor. We're a lot more, you know, maybe self-conscious than she probably was. She's certainly more unashamed than I am. I'm certainly not as brazen as she is. But that's really lovely, is in embodying someone who is that brash and that brazen. And that's been really, really nice. So that's certainly given me a confidence boost.
And now here at the start of the Fringe, when you've got a run or two behind you of a couple of shows, and this is the Edinburgh Fringe, and venues are made, you know, very quickly. Do you come away now kind of knowing what that means for this show in this run? Are there changes? Are there rethinks a little bit, you know, here and there that you've now got a list of?
Yes, most definitely. A lot of, with the show, it's very dependent on the space you're in. And the space that we're in, the audience is slightly raised and slightly further away, and we want it to be as intimate as possible, where it's a lot of talking and we don't want them to just switch off. We want to engage them. So a lot of it on day one was looking at the space and going, right, so if the audience are up here, eye line has to change, and when I'm addressing them, bit further forwards. And it's little tweaks like that. It's the difference with an eye line that's there and there, and that can make the difference to people paying attention. So a lot of it is just getting a feel for the space, and then we, you know, you adapt it naturally according to, so I need to be slightly bigger now. Or, but we actually found, even though it is a big space, that we don't need to be much bigger. Gavin, what he keeps saying to me is, you know, just throw it away a bit more. It's a conversation. It's a conversation with her. So when she does have her more emotive bits, it will resonate and make an impact. So that was a big thing to do with in this space was feel happy to throw some of it away and just chat. So it's more like a conversation with Mata Hari would be a good title for it now, in hindsight.
Final question. So the world that you've imagined around this character and the character as you've imagined her becomes a real world. Mm-hmm. And I offer you that real world for a year of your life. And then you don't lose a year of this life. You'll come back to exactly this moment. Mm-hmm. But you can go and be her as that for a year.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Oh, yeah. Lovely. No regrets. Definitely.
Mata Hari, female spy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.